So if you've got a Bible with you, if you would open it at Isaiah chapter 55, I want to look at that with you this morning as we start looking at this idea, this theme of great things that God offers us, great things in his word, invitations like we have here, some stories we'll look at, some people's experiences of God, some truths that we can be confident about, some things that will comfort, and just some of the sweet things in the Bible. I'm aware that what I do is preach through books of the Bible in the evening and in the morning. We generally preach through passages or through books, and we do it systematically. And that might mean that, for instance, Isaiah 55, it might be 2027 before I'm preaching on Isaiah, and I might not be here in 2027. I might have died by then, is what I think. Rather than, I've got any plans to go somewhere by then, I'll stop now. I'll go home. I've dug a hole. So that's what we're going to do, and just look at some of these things, some of these stories that we might not get to other times. So what I want to speak to about today is Isaiah chapter 55, and what we see in Isaiah 55 is that all that God gives us is absolutely free, 100% free to us. There is no cost that we bear to what God gives us. We cannot buy what God gives us. It's completely free. Now, when I tell you something's free, if that bread in Tesco's was free last night, I doubt I'd have taken it. And I thought, wait a minute. This is dodgy if it's completely free. And we don't trust free offers. We think that somebody's trying to trick us into something. The other thing we think about free offers is that they're not worth having. If the company's giving it away free, then it can't be worth much. A few years ago, charities started sending out their appeals, and you would get a wee bit excited when the envelope came through the door because you could feel there was a pen in it. It was free. Why were they giving you a free pen? They were giving you a free pen because they wanted you to use that pen to fill in the donation form and send it right back. So we didn't trust what they were offering us in the free gift that they were giving us. Well, God offers us a free gift. And maybe if you haven't done business with God, if you haven't come to God as your Savior, you might think, well, can I trust him? Can I really trust him to give me something for nothing? What's behind all of this, that God would offer me this? Well, when we look at Isaiah, we're looking at an Old Testament passage, and we take something sweet from it, and we offer people Jesus 700 years later. So are we right to do that, to say that this is the story, that you can come to Jesus and it's completely free? What's the story of Isaiah about? Well, 700 years before Jesus came to the earth, God's people were being bad. They were needing punished for their sin, and they were warned time and time again, you have to start being good, you have to obey my commands, or you will be exiled. You will be sent out of this good land I have brought you to, and you will be exiled beyond Babylon. But before it happened, God told them that it would happen, and then he promised them that he would bring them back. And Isaiah chapter 53 speaks of how they will come back, and it is because God's servant would come and rescue them, and that servant we see as Jesus Christ. And then in Isaiah 54, it speaks about a restored city. It talks about coming back to that place, the city of Zion, God's holy mountain. It would become somewhere that the people would be back at again. How is this fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Well, where do we all want to go? We want to go to heaven. How are we going to get to heaven? It's God's mountain. It's God's place where he provides everything for us. We're going to get there through Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah 55, after telling them of the servant who would do everything for them, of the place that would be restored, he tells them how they will be restored. And they will be restored by responding in faith, by believing God's words as he invites them to come back to him. So Isaiah 55 is as people respond in trust to God. And so we see Jesus in this because the way that we come to God is through Jesus Christ. God has sent Jesus, his servant, to die for us, his perfect servant who would bear our sins, who would be the one who takes our punishment. But if we don't come to him, if we stay away from him, then there is nothing good in that for us. So we come back to Jesus Christ, and we do it using these words of invite. We are invited to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that most of the people I'm preaching to today have, last week, lots of you took bread and wine in the Lord's Supper because you're thankful for Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And some of the boys and girls are confident that Jesus is their Saviour. And lots of us have come to Jesus Christ already. But one of the things that we find is that having come to Jesus Christ, we are quite good at turning back, going back to things that we used to do, going to even new things that we shouldn't do, and we become dissatisfied. And we look at ourselves and we say, what have I done? And then we start scratching our heads and we say, how am I going to sort this out? I need to stop being such an unfaithful person. I want to be a faithful person. And we put lots and lots of effort into being a faithful person again. Well, the simplest, easiest, sweetest, best thing that you should do is return to Jesus Christ. Return to Jesus Christ, your Savior who has died for your sins. Return to Jesus Christ and know that it's all been paid for and God will accept you in Him. But for some of us, we haven't yet come to Jesus Christ. We haven't put our trust in Him. And we say, well, how do I do that? What do I need to do that? Well, I hope we start to see what we need to do, but we come to Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are older than others, and you will remember the King James Version of this text, and you'll know that it started with another word. It didn't say, come, all you who are thirsty. It said this, ho, ho. Not a Santa Claus-like ho, 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 but a different kind of ho. And the ho is actually there. If you look in the Hebrew, it's about one of the easiest words to read in Hebrew, ho. It's there. And what's the ho there for? The ho is there. It's a wee bit like me. Whoa! Sorry. But this is what's happening. There's a shout. There's something to get your attention. Now, I want you to imagine you're driving along the road. You're on your holidays, you've got all the time in the world, you've got more money than you normally have, you've got plenty of space in your car, and you go through a village or a town, and you see a sign at the side of the road, and it says, something sale. So for some of us, it would be a toy car sale. Who would go in there? A few adults. Maybe it's knitting patterns, maybe it's fishing tackle, maybe it's musical instruments, maybe it's something. And whatever you do, you stop and you go in. And you go into this hall that's selling stuff. It's like a market. There's lots of stuff for sale and everybody is in there. It's crowded out. It's like this, that there's lots of people going around all the stalls. People are sitting respectfully trying to entice you to buy their old second-hand tat. And this voice comes from amongst all of that. Ho, everybody, come to my stall. Come to what I'm selling, and you can have everything for free. Everything for free. And you hesitate. I'm not going. It's free. It's not worth having. I'm not going. I think I know that guy. I think I know what he's trying to sell. And there's much more interesting stuff over here. Come. All who are thirsty, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. Three times, come, come, come. You have to come. So who is invited to come? Well, it is all who are thirsty. That's me in word two in 10 minutes. You're excited about this sermon. All who are thirsty. Well, if I said to you just now, anyone who is thirsty, go and have a cup of tea. It's there. I suspect, I don't know who would be the annoying person that decided to make a noise by going to get it, but you would say just now, I'm not really thirsty just now. I can wait. And it looks a wee bit like that here. All you who are thirsty, come. So come and get God's free salvation. Well, I don't really think I want it right now. That's not what this means. It means All you who are thirsty. It's a description of what you are. You are thirsty. Everybody is thirsty, is what this is saying. Come, all you who are thirsty, every one of you. You all thirst, every one of us. There's this picture here of people at a music festival, somebody throwing out bottles of water. Well, you can see anybody would want that bottle of water, wouldn't they? Why would they want it? They want it because it is free and they're thirsty. And there doesn't look like there's that much of it available. So it's all there, and it's all there for them. Well, why are we thirsty? Why am I thirsty? The real reason that we're thirsty, that we need something to satisfy us, is because God made us that way. God has made us so that our satisfaction would be in Him. God has made us so that we would fill a hole in our lives, a God-shaped hole that we need to fill. But the problem is that we start trying to fill it with other things. We fill it with other things that might satisfy us for a little while or a long time, something that gives our life meaning, something that we find fulfilling. And this is what we try and do. We fill ourselves with these things. We go to different places to find these things. Well, what are the things that we look for? Well, I would say the list is endless. This is just about us. We've become a generation that plays these games. I don't know what this is from. I think there's a bit of a Mario in it or something. But all we're looking... I know it's old, isn't it? Yeah. Nostalgia for some people. Isn't that sad? All we're looking to get to is the next level. The next level. The next level at work, that will pay me. The next level on a game for many grown-ups is something they give far too much time to, in my opinion. The next level. I've got a Ford Galaxy Titanium. Do you know how much I'd like to have a Ford Galaxy Titanium X? It's got better seats. It's got sat-nav. I would like one of them. We keep on chasing the next level of something. And we're like that. But it's not just things that we chase. It's the way we live our lives. And Christians are like this too. I'm like it with my cars a bit too much. But fill in the blank. If I could have, get this, whatever it is, the blank, then I would be happy. If I could go, then I would be happy. If I could, then I would stop. But we all find ourselves chasing something, and we have to come back. And then the voice cries out, why spend money on what is not bread? Why are you putting all of your energy into these things that don't actually provide everything that you need? And who is to go? Who has to listen to this? Well, it's people that have come before to the table and they've turned away, they've come and got what God is offering free, and they've gone back to things. How many of us have done that? Be honest with yourself. How much of your time is taken up doing something else? Social media. Admit it to yourself. Who spends more time on Facebook in a day than they do reading the Bible? Who spends more time on Facebook than praying? Okay, it's Twitter for some of you, or something else. It takes over. Who thinks that another hour at the office, well, it seems unavoidable. You're spending all your energy on it. You're stuck in a cycle doing it, but it's not satisfying. And then there's food. Remember that sin of gluttony that we looked at in the seven deadly sins? Well, another drink, it'll help me. Another game, football, of hockey, whatever it is, I need to keep fit for that. And then there's other things that just for people who've already been at the table to then go to another religion and say hi to it, that gets a bit dangerous. But all of these things suck us in. And if you've never been to Jesus Christ, maybe something else is taking too much of your time and attention. But for us who have come, don't let other things take us away. Well, just Jeremy, get real. You don't expect me to actually read the Bible more than I'm on Facebook, do you? What's the context, Isaiah? God isn't going to exile us beyond Babylon again. But he did promise punishment to those that didn't listen to his warnings or instructions. He told them to stop, and they wouldn't stop. And then he wasn't with them anymore. He cast them out. He did bring them back a generation later, two generations later, but he did bring them back. Now, don't play with these things. Don't think, actually, God, you've got it wrong. There are so many more rewarding things in life than what you offer. Why do you spend your money on that which is bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy? You put all your time and effort into this. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So what are we to do? There are a few verbs here that we can look at that tell us what we are to do. We are, first of all, to come. We're to come. It is like God puts out his hand and he says, come. He invites us to him. Now it says there, come all you who are thirsty. So that is plural, all who are thirsty. But then the invitation to come is singular. So it's like God says, you're all thirsty. You come. You come. You come. All of you, come, come, come. And so what does that mean? It means that we are to stop going the other way. Everything else has taken our attention. All of these fantastic offers that we think might make a difference to our lives. And he says, come away from that and come to me. So it involves a turning, which we'll come back to in a little while. So what sort of things would we come away from and come to? Well, we come to God. We come away from these things that entice us and we come to God. Jeremy, how do I do that? Because we're not actually in this market hall, are we? We're in church. How do we come to God? We come to God by prayer, by asking him. We come to him by believing that he is there. We come to him in praise. We come to him by opening his word and discovering who he is and living our lives turned towards him. We come to God in this way. And then the second thing that we are told to do is we are to come buy. We're to buy. Come and buy. I want you to buy this stuff that's free. Is that making any sense to you? Buy what's free? You can't buy what's free, you don't think. If it's free, you don't have to buy it. This is a little bit confusing. So what does God actually want us to do? He wants us to come and buy. That it's free. When I go to the shops, I went to Tesco last night and filled up my bag. Even though it wasn't worth very much, I did have to hand over my card and I had to pay for it. I had to pay for it, or the security guy would have had a word with me, I'm sure. I had to do it. God actually wants us not just to say, Jesus died for sin, so we're all saved. Jesus, God wants us to come and to give him nothing, but to actually do it. To actually come with nothing and offer him nothing. Because one of the dangers that we have is that we try and offer God the good that we did yesterday, or the not bad, or is not as bad as other people as we might have been all our lives. But actually, to come to God, you can see these hands are pretty dirty, aren't they? And our hands are dirty because we have done things that are wrong. And we go to God acknowledging that that's what we have. We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing good in ourselves to offer you, God. We have no right to come and demand that you give us life. So we offer and we show you that we recognize that we have done wrong, that we have been too enticed by everything around us. We've tried to find satisfaction in that, and our hands are empty because ultimately it does not satisfy. And so we come to you and we show you that we know we have nothing. And God says that that's what we are to do. Come buy and eat. The verb is buy. The next thing we are to do is eat. We're to take it. We're to take what God offers us from all that he offers us. One of the things that we have looked for in our life as a family is this kind of sign whenever we go out for a meal. Kids eat free. It's one of these great signs. Why is it never the other way around? It's good, isn't it? But what God offers is that any who come to him, it's better than kids eat free. It's that everyone eats free. We're to come and we're to get it. We're to come and we are to buy it. We're to come and we're to eat it. It's cost money. You go into a restaurant and nobody eats absolutely everything for free. Some of you, as you come for dinner today to get your haggis, you're having to bring a pudding. There's no such thing as a free lunch, is there? Just doesn't happen. Well, how is this all paid for? Let's connect it back to where we were at the start. Isaiah 53, we see that Jesus Christ, the one who God sent, would be a ransom for us, that he would give his life as a ransom for many. That there has been a transaction. It was not something that we could offer, but it was something that God has done for us. We are able to take this stuff. And when we take it, we know we can think of Jesus Christ, who said to the woman of Samaria that if he drank what he gave, then she would never be thirsty. What Jesus said to the crowd looking for food, if you take the bread I give you, it will last. And you'll never hunger or thirst again, because he is the bread of life, that he gives us all of these things. I don't know how many of you know whiskey. A dangerous thing for a minister to talk about, but whiskey, what does it mean? Water of life. Water of life. Ushkabea. Wikipedia tells me it comes from Gaelic, which is slightly offensive, but from Irish Gaelic instead of Scottish Gaelic. That's what's offensive. But Ushkabea, water of life. What's the best whiskey you've ever had? It's got to be expensive. Second thing about the best whiskey you've ever had is it's got to be a gift. And if it's going to satisfy you, well, whiskey on a shelf looks interesting, but whiskey in your mouth puts your mouth on fire or something. It's good. God gave it. Let's not abuse it. Let's not have too much of it, but it's good. The water of life, the best, is the most expensive. It cost what you could not afford to pay. It cost the righteousness of Christ. It cost the sacrifice of Christ. And it's given to you as a gift, but it does nothing, nothing for you, unless you do what it says here. You come and you take it. You make the transaction. You have it. You become satisfied with it. Well, if only a McDonald's Happy Meal would satisfy us. Have you ever seen something so ridiculous? It never does what it says in the tin, because the child is always screaming because they got a girl's toy instead of a boy's toy or something like that. It is not a Happy Meal. But the most satisfying thing we have from Christ does make us happy. It does what it says on the box, that we can be satisfied if we come to God through Jesus Christ. How do we know that it's through Jesus? Because this is 700 years before Jesus came, and it says here, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, and that your soul may live. That your soul may live. What's your soul? That part of you that never dies. That part of you that has been given to you by God. This part the doctors can't dissect, but the part that lives. And we want that to live, this part of our being. This is who we are. Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we listen to this invitation, we can connect it to Jesus, because the invitation gives life. But there's more than that. It's simple, but it says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. David is the story there. God has promised that David would have a king from his line on the throne forever. Forever. And he has given us that in Jesus Christ. You look at the genealogies and you see that it is through Jesus Christ that this king is. And he makes an everlasting covenant with the house of David and with all then who would belong to that house. If you look at Acts chapter 13, verse 35, I think it is, you find that Paul applies this promise to the resurrected Jesus, that this life comes through him. So if we belong to the people of Jesus Christ, if we belong to the house of David through Jesus Christ, we are that people. And he has become a witness to the peoples and leader and commander of the peoples. This is written at the time when God had this small group of people who were devoted to him. And where has his news gone now? It's gone throughout the world. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Scotland, it is. We think we're in decline. We think that the church is not what it was. But still there is a church because this nation can go to God. And it is because of God's promise to David here fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. He's enshrined, endowed this faithful one with splendor. And it is because of Jesus Christ. So everybody here can come to Jesus Christ. And I want to make that absolutely clear because some people think they're too young to come to Jesus Christ. Some people think that they need to set out their intentions in life and then decide what to do with Jesus. No, you come to Jesus now. You come with nothing. Some people think that they're too old to come to Jesus Christ because they've had too many experiences in their lives which are not really what people in a relationship with Jesus Christ should have. And so now you can't come. That's not in this book. That's not in the Bible. Hey, you should be at the front of the queue because you've been round all the other stalls. You've tried to buy everything else and you've tried to be satisfied in it and it doesn't completely satisfy you. But when you come to God through Jesus Christ, you take him and you will be satisfied. You will have everything that you need. The Lord is your shepherd, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. So there is nothing else you will need. Well, how do we do it? We do it by coming to God, as verse 6 tells us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. This is what we are to do. Remember when we looked at the Beatitudes? One of the things that we remembered quite often was how we were to come with empty hands. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You seek the Lord while he may be found. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, when we play hide and seek, we go and we look for something. So we think that's what seek means. But seek isn't meant to be in that context. It's like this. Parents seek a healthy lifestyle for their children. Parents seek a healthy lifestyle for their children. How does that work out? They feed them vegetables. They wash them. They put them to school. They send them out to play. And they make sure that they sleep. They seek it. They do it all the time. You don't just seek a healthy lifestyle for your child once your child's in hospital. You seek a healthy lifestyle all the time to keep your child out of hospital. How do you seek the Lord? You keep on looking to God. You keep on living your life to please him. You apply it to every part of your life like we apply it to every part of the child's life. Well, you are free to come to Jesus Christ, but on what basis should you come? You know, you're not actually a punter in the sale room with money. You're not somebody who's got anything who could offer. Your hands are dirty. And let me describe you in a way that you don't want to be described. You are wicked. You are unrighteous. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Do you want to be that person? Well, am I really wicked? Am I really wicked? Well, let me just put your wickedness to you like this. All your life, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, he's been holding out the offer to you. He's been saying, come. And you say, no, I'm more interested in this. this looks like it will reward me, or that looks like it rewards me, or that's not going to reward me, so that will. And all the time Jesus is saying, come. And that is wickedness. But you know it's worse than that. You know that your life is not just about making bad choices from time to time. It is about doing things that you know to be wrong. You know God is asking you not to do, and still you do them. We are like that nation who rebelled against God. We are wicked. Not one of us has done all the good that we should. And so we need to come to God. And we need to come to God hearing his word, hearing that we are welcome to come back. So we come to God. And as we turn to God, we come recognizing that we have nothing to offer. So we seek what? We turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. God will not give us what we deserve. We come with these empty hands and they're dirty. They're dirty. So we need our hands to be cleansed. How are our hands going to be cleansed? Only as God has mercy on us and washes away our sin through Jesus Christ. So that's who we are. He will have mercy on us and we turn to God and he will freely pardon us. Freely pardon. What's a pardon? Well, the most recent story I've read about pardon is the American president pardoning the turkey. I didn't know it happened until I Googled it, exactly what the story is. But if you haven't been paying attention to it, the president gets to take a turkey that has been brought to the White House that can be ate for Thanksgiving lunch, and the president is able to put his hands and to pronounce that turkey is pardoned. The turkey will not die and be eaten for Thanksgiving dinner. Instead, it will go to a petting zoo and get a name and be one of the most loved turkeys in all of America for a while. What did the turkey do wrong? Nothing. So maybe it could get the pardon. What have I done wrong? What have you done wrong? We're not turkeys requiring pardon. We're sinners requiring pardon so that we could be kept out from God's punishment, from God showing his wrath towards us. And that's who we are. We don't deserve it, but we are welcome to come and ask for it. Come, all you who are thirsty. Well, the last thing to say is, when do we seek the Lord? And we go back over some things that we have already spoken about. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When should you seek the Lord? Go home and seek the Lord. No. Next week, seek the Lord. No. The time is, when should you seek the Lord? Now. Now, not later. It could be now or never. Why does he say while he may be found? Because God is graciously offering this invitation to come to him, and these people are to take it. And we can do it right here. We can do it right now because we can just come to God in prayer. We can come to God even through the words of the song that we'll sing at the end. We can come to God by believing in Jesus Christ. We can come to God. We don't have to sort out anything in our lives. We don't have to clear up the mess we've made because coming to God is how we do that. We come to God in our poverty. And he says that if we take what he offers, what will we be? Well, not be poorer because we've given nothing to get it. We will eat. We will be fed. We will be satisfied. We will stop wasting our time. We will have listened to that voice that's been calling and pulling. We will live. And we will live forever because the covenant he makes is everlasting. We will be one of God's people. So we go, we seek the Lord while he may be found. We call on him when he is near. We forsake our old ways. We forsake our old thoughts. And we turn to the Lord. And we can be confident of his mercy. And we can be confident of his pardon. What did you come to church with today? Maybe a heavy heart. Maybe a broken heart. What a joy it is that we can go from here with a pardoned heart, an everlasting life. Imagine we never came with that and we could go with it. Come to God so that you may have it. Let's pray.